Welcome to the Board Gamer Podcast. This is episode 6. We're considering games that go down well. First off, let's start today's episode with some announcements. First, I've got a little announcement, and as you might know, we're getting ever so closer to UKGE, which is a particular favourite convention for us here at Board Gamer. We want to do a specific shout out. If you are an indie board game publisher, designer, or developer, please drop a comment or get in contact with us if you'd like to do a collaboration. We are interested, especially in supporting indie designers that are going to be at UKGE. Over to our next announcement, and Tim is going to take us through that one.
Yeah, I've got an announcement around sort of the brand side of it. As you might have seen on some of our socials, we've introduced our new sort of dice boy and card boy. Don't know what we call him. Let's call him that for now.
The whole style.
Yeah, rubber hose style mascots of Board Gamer.
Do you know what we could even say? We could say, if you come up with a good name for each of these mascots, we can send you a free t-shirt.
There you go. Whoever wins that competition will get a free t-shirt.
Brilliant.
Anyway, that's the whole point. We're going to make some t-shirts and hoodies. We did a poll, didn't we? And we talked about what people wanted. People said t-shirts, definitely. We've seen a lot of that kind of rubber hose trend, I think, around sort of clothing. So we think it would resonate really well. So we tried it and we put it on. People said that. We did get quite a lot of love for the tote bags. I did say to these guys, and Matt was saying the same, that I said everyone loves a good tote bag. Matt was like, yeah, definitely. So we put it on the poll and I think that won, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll make some tote bags. I'm sure of it. We've got some other ideas for merch, so stay tuned. We'll announce that more to come. If there's anything that you would like to see merch-wise, just let us know. And we'll be sure to start developing our merchandise side of it very soon.
Absolutely. And just to give you all a bit of transparency, where does the proceeds go? If someone buys a t-shirt, is that money just going into our back pocket?
No, we're all investing all our money into this at the moment. That's not all of our money, like we've put our wages into this. We're putting what we can into this to make it work. As you can see, we've got some kit that we've invested into a little bit. We could do with more kit. We could do with more help with a lot of sort of side of the website. Potentially subscription costs and things like that. So no, all of the money will just get reinvested into what we're doing.
Exactly. We just want to be able to produce a quality product for you. We all have our own jobs. We've all got our own lives. But really, we want to be able to produce great board gamer content for the board game community. Hence why anything you can do to support us, even financially, we don't want to just ask for money. So you'll get a t-shirt, you'll get some merch in return. But we want to reinvest that money into Board Gamer for you, the board game community. That sounds about right?
Yeah,
sounds good.
So without further ado from these announcements, we're going to consider in today's episode games that go down well, and also stay tuned at the end of the episode when we consider the game of the week, particularly featuring a game that seems to always go down well. But to begin with, in this episode, we're going to look at both a light game, a medium game, a heavy game that we find goes down well with different demographics. We're also going to consider our honourable mention and also a game that we find just flops, a game that we can't seem to make go down well at all. So on this, let's start with our light game choices and we're going to go round robin, and I think we can start with you. Over to Tim.
Light game.
A light game that you find goes down well.
Light game for me would actually be, I talk about social party games. I think we're going to do a podcast soon on it. But Just One, I think, is a really good social party game that whoever I play it with, even if it's heavy gamers, goes down really well.
Yeah, that is a really good choice. I've played Just One. Yeah.
I actually had Jake's initially. Because I just accidentally read his notes before and I was like, damn it. I've got that one as well.
Just One is a really good game. I definitely have played that in so many scenarios. It seems to be a great party game when people are really just discovering, whoa, there's more games out there than Uno. Just One tends to be the thing that I'd think, well, if you don't know what game to buy for a party setting, Just One is my default answer.
Yeah.
I totally see what you mean there with that.
And it, what's nice is it does... I can't remember what it goes up to. Is it 6 or 8?
I think it's 12.
12 players?
Yeah.
I'm sure I don't have that many in mind, but I got
robbed. Wait, no. You only get like...
Let me check this. I'm going to check this.
6 whiteboards, don't you?
You get more than that.
You sure?
Just One.
I thought you get like 6 pens.
See, we don't know everything here at Board Gamer.
It's 6 or 8 for me. I'm thinking about the coloured pens and the little white...
I'm sure that I played it
7.
With my...
It goes to 7. We were all wrong.
6. I said 6 and 8.
Do you know what it is? I've played it at higher player counts. People share. So that's where I'm getting myself confused.
So it's nice for that because you can have more than like... you. If you're having like a dinner party or something like that and you're having some friends over, if you're having more than like one of the couple over, it's a game that you can still get out and play. We've enjoyed it every time we play it. And it's always a good laugh to see what comes up and what people think and their first thoughts on words. Just really good game. Just a really good game.
Yeah. And I really like that it does have that flexibility that, sure, there's only 7 whiteboards just because that's what comes in the box. But I've been at scenarios, we've had more people and people can just join in. It's not a strict game. It's like, oh, someone has to sit out. It just feels like a nice social game.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really easy to bring out. So I think that's a great choice.
I think what you said works, because sometimes there's words I get stuck on. I'm like, I can't think of a word. And if you've got someone else in the like mix, they can go, oh, what about this? Or I played it with my nieces. They're still too young to really play games. But what they do like is just writing. They've got into like, you know, writing and drawing and that sort of thing. So even they got involved last time. We were like whispering in their ear what to write and they were writing it. So you can get everyone involved. It's great.
It is a fantastic game. That's a great light choice. So definitely, if you're looking for a light game, Just One, a game that always goes down well from Tim's experience.
I think Just One is great if you haven't got a table. Non-table game.
That's a good point.
Definitely, because you can just play that in the living room, or on the floor, wherever. It's really good.
We played it at Centre Parks, actually, and we were just on the settees with the coffee table. Because you can, like you say, you're just writing on the thing and you can just hold it and turn it around. Yeah. And that. And then sometimes we'll put it on the coffee table.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get in the right angle here where I'm not.
So I'll go with my light choice next, and then we'll come over to you, Matt. With my light game choice of a light game that I found always goes down well, and I wanted to pick Sentry Spice Road. Why did I pick Sentry Spice Road? Well, I had a real life anecdote recently where my brother-in-law bought Sentry Spice Road because he thought it looked great and he had played it before and he found it for a good price. It's not a very expensive game. It's very similar to Splendor. If you haven't played it and you've played Splendor, it's like Splendor, maybe with a slightly different theme, a few slightly different mechanics, but it's very similar. And so if you like Splendor and you want something different but similar enough, totally try Sentry Spice Road. But the reason I thought this game goes down so well, because my brother-in-law coaxed my sister to play. She didn't really want to play. She kind of likes games, lighter games. She likes games like Brew and Pandemic and things like that, but generally doesn't want to go for something too heavy. So she wasn't super tempted when she looked at it. Again, it's not a theme that I think naturally appeals to her, but she decided to play it. We also had another friend round who isn't a big fan of board games, but my sister was playing, so she joined in as well.
Yeah.
The two of them loved it. They loved it. The day after, my sister wanted to get out Sentry Spice Road again.
Oh, brilliant.
She wanted to play it again, so they played it. Even I played a round, and then I was like, oh, I think I'm going to sit out the next round. And she played it again with my brother-in-law, just the two of them. She loved it, and I thought, wow, if a game appeals and my sister is up for it, it must be a really nice game that is appealing and that people can pick up and is addictive, and it has that addictive quality. And usually I can gauge what is a good quality light game. If my sister likes it, it's a good quality light game. So that's why I had to go for Sentry Spice Road, just from my own personal experience recently.
Nice. You've not robbed my other choice, but I was going to say Splendor as the other one.
Which is a natural blend into Matt's light choice.
I'm going to change my light choice, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. I've changed it twice now. But no, I haven't even played Century Spice Road.
What?
No.
That is the ultimate, like, step up gateway type
it
game,
is
isn't it?
A brilliant game.
I think it's because I played Splendor, loved it. I played all... Actually, this is another segue into Splendor that I probably should have said, but I played the Pokemon version recently.
Of Pokemon Splendor?
Yeah.
Bro, I want that! Where did you get that?
It's so good. My friend had an imported copy.
I thought it was only freaking Korea or something?
Yeah, everything is in Korean, yeah. It's a bit annoying in terms of the... Because there are some rule changes, and I think it takes the game up another level. The only thing that... this is a bit of a design frustration... But the Pokeballs, so they invert some of the colours on the Pokeball. So, like, the black one is very similar, like, the inverted of the yellow one.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
I find that a little bit weird. But in terms of the Noble system, that's completely gone. And the way it works is that you can, if you have a certain amount of Pokemon that is matching a certain color, you can just naturally evolve them into the next one that gives you more points. And I thought it was really good.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. I don't know why they haven't released it over here, because they released the Marvel version. I was like, this, I've played the Marvel one. It's just like Splendor, really. Mm. It's pretty good. But the Pokemon one is definitely the best one I've played.
Oh, that's really interesting. I'll have to give that a go.
Yeah, give it a go.
I'll have to import it.
Yeah. I don't know how much it is, but...
Yeah. I think that all three of those choices are really good, like, games that I think are definitely... I think you have to have at least one of those on your shelf, even if you're a heavy ball gamer for... Do you know, one of those.
Yeah, I think you can talk on Century Spice Road, but I feel like that has a lot of strategy.
Yeah, it does, yeah. For a simple kind of game that just... quick actions, I think.
That's what's good about it, isn't it? That it's fun and appealing for a light gamer, but a heavy gamer will equally find the game fun because you just feel like, oh, I could do something slightly different next time.
It's got that blockiness in it with, like, people taking the gems you want. Mm. Or, like, you know that mechanic where you want to take two and then someone just takes that one and you're like, I can't take two now. That's so annoying. Just those little things are quite good about it. I would say there's a whole... I've seen before, like, a Reddit debate on whether you go for Splendor or Century.
Okay.
That is like some people say, what's the next progression? It's like Century or Splendor.
There is a solution to that, though. Just own both.
Yeah, you could do. I'd probably lean towards Century a little bit, but I don't mind Splendor. I think it's an okay game.
I personally would say Splendor is slightly easier for newer gamers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because I think it's a bit clearer. The cards are clearer. You've got these little discs, clearer. Whereas Century uses these little cubes, and not all of the cards are quite sure. Because the difference with Century, see, in Splendor, you've got everything laid out in three rows.
Yeah. Mm.
Whereas Century has that thing where a card moves along a row. So you have to buy it from a conveyor belt. That's slightly... It's not a complicated mechanic, but it's uncommon to new gamers.
Yeah.
So that can be slightly, maybe just a touch heavier.
I would say I introduced this recently to some brand new gamers, never played, I don't think, maybe Monopoly. Like, they're not really board gamers.
Yeah.
Play video games, so I guess they're into gaming as a whole. But introduced them, first game we got out was Century. And they loved it. And we played a few games. They liked them all, but they said Century was the best one of the night. And they were completely new to it. At first, they were just kind of slowly getting it. And then after about their third or fourth turn, one of them said, it really made me laugh. He said something like, right, I've got a vision now. He had like a strategy. And I'm like, you've never played a game. And I love this because you've now already talking as if you're like, you're a mad board gamer. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? The other one was going... I've got it. I know what my next turn's got. And I was like, right, I love this. This is like, you're switching to a board game already. Like I say, I think all three of those games are really good picks for light, easy to play. You should definitely have one of them at least on the shelf for if you have people over.
I've got a slight variation because I know Splendor and Sentry are quite similar, so I thought I'd mix it up a touch. And a game that I've found that everyone has pretty much enjoyed since I've got it out has been Scout. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I played it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a real easy trip-taking game.
And it's a little card game, so it's easy to take with you if you go to the pub or anywhere.
That's it, yeah. And what I quite like about it is you can be a bit ruthless, but also you can have like a friendly game. The only issue I've had is if you know games well, you'll know the strategy to pick up straight away, where I think that takes a bit of humility in terms of you, the board gamer, thinking, you know what, let's just take it easy on this one. Because you don't want to crush people. And then they're like, oh yeah, that, where they could have enjoyed the game, but because you've just smashed them, it takes the fun out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah,
They've got to learn though, Matt. Oh, no. They've got to get better.
Get good. No, I think... Yeah, you haven't played Scout then?
I have, yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
How did you find it?
Yeah, I liked it. When it was being explained, I was like, okay, I'm kind of getting it. And then we got into the game and I was like, right, I've got it. I think we played a three player and I could see where it might be better at a high player count.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Where you've got more options and with how you play it, but... Yeah.
No. Cool.
Yeah. One thing I was going to say about Splendor is you played Splendor Duel?
No, I haven't.
That's very good. If you like Splendor.
Better than Splendor?
For me, I would say it was. Okay. I just preferred it. It's got a different mechanic of how you collect the gems.
Oh, I'm going to have to try that.
Okay. You collect three. They're on like a grid system and they come out random. And you have to take three in a, I think it's three, in a row or column. Or I think it can be diagonal as well. So you're like looking at what the best gems are in these patterns. And I just really like that. Just that little difference to it. Really good game.
Oh, you know what? We've been talking about these and another game has popped into my head. But I was going to say Azul. Like, I don't think I've ever had a bad game with Azul.
I hate Azul.
What?
I've played it so many times and I've played it enough times to conclusively know I do not like Azul.
Oh, well, fair enough. I'm glad I didn't include it then.
I liked Azul. I really like Azul. And I'm not the biggest tile placing or polyanimo type gamer, but there's a few games that do it really well, and a lot I do really like Azul. I think the base game of Azul is great for new players.
Yeah.
And then once you've got into that, you could definitely easily go into like the expansions.
I've played the stained glass one as well. Don't like it.
The Summer Pavilion one was brilliant. I think worth a go on that.
I thought the stained glass one was really good, but it went on for too long.
Oh, really?
Maybe that's just who I was playing it with, but the game went on for like probably an hour 30. I was like, I don't think Azul should go on for an hour 30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No.
Not for a lighter game, no.
No.
All right, so that was our light game choices. If you want any of those as recommendations, perhaps you're watching this looking for game options, definitely go and check out some of those ones. We highly would recommend it. It definitely gets the board game a stamp of approval, which will be coming soon. So for our medium game choices, this will be a very interesting one. We will stick to the same order. So over to Tim, let's hear your medium game choice of a game that's always seemed to go down well.
I'm going to caveat with this that I haven't played it loads of times, but the times I have played it, I've played with some new people, some that have played a few board games, but not massively really heavy into board games yet. I've played with heavier board games, and this game is Architects of the West Kingdom.
Yes.
I think it goes down, it's a nice big board. The artwork's quite cute. So you either love it or hate it. But it's a really cool just worker placement, lots of spots on the big map or whatever. And you're just putting meeples down to get resources. They are limited, so you do have to get them back at times, or people can nick them and send them to prison. Jake.
I think we talked about that last time.
So it's just a really nice, simple game. And I just want to add to this that I have not played the North Sea series, so I can't comment too much, but I've heard that Raiders of the North Sea is a really good game as well. And I think that kind of is more on the lighter side, but still maybe a medium game. I've heard that goes down quite well as well. So I think they've done a really good job. Some of the series are more heavier. Paladins of the West Kingdom is a heavier game. Great game, but it is more heavier. But Architects is a good medium weight game that offers like a really nice play. It's good fun. There's a good, you can have a really good laugh with it. And every time I've played it, everyone's loved it and enjoyed it. So that's my medium one.
I totally can see that. I think that's a perfect example. Now, I know that you do love the West Kingdom series, but I've played them, rightly so. West Kingdom series, I think, need even more hype. They already get enough hype, but they need even more. I think the West Kingdom series should realistically end up being a household name as much as Wingspan is. Not yet. I want to, though.
I'm guilty. I haven't played any of them.
What?
I was thinking about bringing it, you know, to have a little...
Architects of the West Kingdom. It is a really good game, and I think it's a good choice as a medium game because maybe it might just have a little bit more rules than if you're trying to transfer someone from Monopoly straight into it. But if someone's played, say, your Wingspan, your Catan, stuff like that...
Definitely.
The whole idea of having meeples and things, that's going to really draw their attention because everyone loves to have... You get loads of them. Mm. You have your own little board, but it's not too complicated.
Yeah.
The board art design is really nice. And it's not a game where you feel swamped with like, oh, I need to do this. It feels like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that gives you a bit of flexibility. I think it's a great suggestion.
Yeah. And it's quite a... I call it like... I don't know if linear is the right word, but it's got this set path that you either want to build cards in your hand or help build the cathedral. So there is a set, everyone's got kind of a similar strategy. Mm-hmm. Depending on what you want to build is what resources you need. So you do have quite a straightforward strategy. But obviously the influence in the game of like, you know, there's a tax stand that you can rob. There's a black market that can up your morale. Or that reduces your morale. There's people taking you to prison and nicking your character. It's just got these little factors that mess the game up for you.
And
it's good.
Bit of humour, isn't
it? Yeah, it's great fun. Yeah.
It really, that's a good shout there. Because that's the thing. You take, for example, like what we talked about earlier, Splendor, Century Spice Road, and some of these ones. They're great games, but they don't lack character. But I think it's a good factor when a game has just a little bit of humour in it. And I think Architects is a good example of that. Mm. Those little things like, oh, I'm going to go and rob the tax stand, or mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to catch your guys and send them to prison and you have to come and get them out. Just those little things that create a little bit of laughter amongst the players. I think that's a good thing. And yeah, that as especially helps a game to go down well.
Yeah, definitely.
So on to me with my medium choice. Now, I'm going to caveat this because I would say the game is not a medium game for the person who needs to learn the game, but anyone joining the game, it is a medium game, hence why. And the game is Sleeping Gods.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Now, I played Sleeping Gods recently for the first time, and at first I was a bit like, okay. Thankfully, I had someone there who had played the game, they knew how it worked, and I let them run it, even though it was my game. I bought it, but yeah, I was like, they was going to teach it me. Yeah. I was happy with that. But as the game went on, I was like, man, this game is insanely good. And a good example of this was, at first, his wife didn't want to play, and she's like, no, just you boys play.
Yeah.
But he begged her, because he knew how much the game would be fun for her. And he was like, no, trust me, please, you will really like this. So she begrudgingly started playing. I tell you what, an hour in, she loved it. She was loving it because it's super story-driven. Mm. Sleeping Gods, essentially, you've got this big book, which is like a big binder, and it's this massive book, and it's just like an A to Z map, but all fantasy. Mm. So if you go off the edge of a map, you go to, it'll say go to page 17, so you're skipping through to the next page, and then you go to a little island, and it'll say 74. So you've got this massive book, and its back book is full of stories. You go to page like number 74, and it's like you enter a tavern. It's got this whole story. Do you want to do this A? Do you want to do this B? You do that, you go take this quest card. So now you've got a quest. So it's like an RPG. You're on a quest. But what's really cool is they've designed the game that literally, let's say we're playing right now and Matt needs to go. Matt can literally just next round leave the game and we can carry on. Then if Matt comes back, say he goes to the shop, you can go, okay, next round, and Matt's back in.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Because it's like an RPG. It's almost like Matt's logging on and logging off.
Yeah.
And the game is like, I don't know, it's a couple hundred hours to finish it. Mm-hmm. So they've got this whole system on how to save your game. And they've got all the right bags, all the right places. So you just almost put everything away in a certain way and save the game. And you just want to get it out again. Mm. And what made me realize it's a game that goes down so well is just his wife didn't want to play. And especially when she saw it and she thought, oh, this is going to be a big, heavy game. But then when she got into it and realized it's not heavy, it's story driven, and she loved it, that's what made me realize this is a medium game for a learner that goes down well. It's heavy game if you're the person running it, because you just need to know, now we draw this card, or you need to know what triggers this. But if you're just playing it, it's not heavy at all, and it just went down so well. Honestly, I think most people would really enjoy it.
Good. I think it's quite interesting, because I know who you're talking about, who doesn't probably play games as like we do. I've played games with her before, and I think she can get into games. So I think that's quite a cool thing that she's got into quite a heavier game.
Yeah,
like that. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, but that's what I would say, though, that when you play it as just a player, it's not that heavy, because you're like, what do I need to do? It kind of has guided RPG elements.
Okay.
So it's almost like if you like RPGs and D&D and all that, but you want a board game, that's what it is. So like sometimes you might say, the story will say, oh, you need to do a persuasion check of 5.
Mm.
So you're like, okay, well, each character that you're playing, you're basically playing as an entire crew. Mm-hmm. And it's who looks after those crew members. You need to make sure you've got enough persuasion amongst you all to do that. Right. But then if you decide, okay, we're going to use these characters, those characters become exhausted. And you have to unexhaust the characters. So, but then it's discussion. You're like, oh, do we do that? Or do we do, if we don't do the persuasion check, then we have to do something else. So it's all discussion based. Again, the person needs to make sure you do all the checks right. He's got the rules in his head. But if you're just following along, it's like the difference between a GM and a player.
Yeah.
So if you're just a player, it's not a light game, because you do need to actually pay attention, but
it sounds a bit D&D-y.
It is. It's D&D for board gamers.
Yeah, I play D&D, and we've played with people that aren't D&D players that, like you say, as long as the GM knows the rules,
that's it.
It's fine. But
which is the difference, so that like a GM needs to learn a massive rule book.
Yeah.
The players don't. Just
play. For the person who's running the game, what level of difficulty is it, would you say?
Well, I would say it is a heavy game.
Okay.
Because when you're coming across a different quest, or you're coming across an island and you go to that part of the rule book, sometimes islands are very linear and you just read a story and it will give you the options.
Yeah.
But sometimes it will be specific. Like we went to one place and it said, if you have this quest card, if you have this quest card, if you have this quest card, and then you need to even maybe sometimes flip the page, go to a totally different part. Just making sure that you're following that will greatly affect the game, because the game requires you to, like a video game, go to this island, go to that page, and then come back.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be done like that. But if someone skipped that or just didn't realize that and thought, oh, we'll move on or whatever, you could really ruin the game for yourself. So it isn't super heavy, but just having someone make sure that you follow that, making sure you're exhausting your characters properly, making sure you're doing your skill checks. There's a market, you can buy items and upgrade your characters. Just making sure you're following those little things. They're not heavy rules, but you just need to make sure someone is overseeing them. And that's what I would say makes it a slightly heavier game.
I actually wanted to buy this game years and years ago. When I guess I had a few games for a long time, and then I really got heavily into just buying tons. And that was on my list of a game to buy. I watched a video on it, really loved it, loved the look of it. I saw some pictures of it. I'm sure that was just called Sleeping Gods. So is this one slightly different in any way?
The one I have is Sleeping Gods, and there are a few newer versions of it. So I think you can get some of the new expansions, they're standalone games.
Okay, right.
But they're just different adventures.
Do the stories lead on from the original? Or
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
Okay. I don't think you need to play the original.
Okay.
I think they're just separate games. Stories. Yeah, I think it's kind of like Zelda. You can play one without having played all of them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I definitely, though, if you like legacy-style games, if you like RPG but can't get the right people. Again, Sleeping Gods, I could take out the game I'm playing and you guys could take over and you would love it. I would say, this is what happened last in the story and let's play. And you'd be totally fine doing that. And I think that's a clever thing that the game does. And that's why I would say it's a medium game that definitely goes down well.
Nice.
But it's a heavy game if you're going to be the person teaching it.
Nice.
So over to Matt. Matt, what's a medium game that you found goes down well?
Okay, I had a few ones for this. I'm going to start with Dominion. Ooh. Would you class that as a medium game? That's my first question.
I would view it as a light game because I've been able to teach that to tons of people. But like we saw in last week's episode, I prefer teaching light games. So I think it's my style of teaching.
Because when I was researching this, I went back. There was another game I had and I thought, you know, I don't want to mention that because I feel like we don't want to talk about the same games every podcast. And Dominion came up in this list. And I was like, you know what? I've never had... Like, some people don't think it's the greatest game on earth, which is fair enough. But I don't think I've had anyone, like, actively dislike it. And I think it's a great way of introducing deck building into someone's mechanic. This is how a game can work in this type of way. So I thought I'd choose Dominion as my game. My other game that I was thinking of, and the only reason I think this is the game that I would choose, it's just I haven't played it enough. And, well, I've only played it once. And it was Ra. I played it online, and I was like, I don't think I could ever play this with anyone, and they wouldn't enjoy it. Maybe that's just me making assumptions. But, yeah, when I watched that, I was like, I've got to get this game. Because I think it is... the perfect gateway game.
That is a really interesting shout. I haven't tried Ra, but I would have some comments on Dominion because I've played an unhealthy amount of games of Dominion. And I've played quite a few of the expansions as well. And what I love about Dominion is I would say Dominion base game is a light game.
Okay.
It's the top end of light. Yeah, so if someone... It's not a party game, but if someone has got the hang of that, the more expansions you add, the heavier you can make it, you know?
Yeah, that's
some
true.
Of the expansions are even harder than others. Like, Intrigue is a medium expansion, but you might have one like, I think, Seafarers, I think it is, or Menagerie, which become a little bit more complex. They've got quite a few different rules. Some of them, I'm grateful I played quite a few of them on the app, because you can get the app on Android. And... I'm so glad there was, because some of them are so complex, I would definitely get those cards wrong in real life.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that that is a brilliant game. I don't think I've seen Dominion not go down well, so that is a great shout.
Yeah, I think it's just a great game. I haven't played all the expansions. I've actually got Luke's copy of Intrigue down here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I still haven't played it yet. I'm just too busy coding. But anyway, I definitely want to play some more of the expansions. I think you mentioned one that just like wasn't worth playing, and I think that's like quite widely regarded across the community.
Prosperity's really good, though.
Prosperity's good.
Should try Prosperity.
Have you got an Android phone?
Yeah.
Because when I had mine, I downloaded the Dominion app.
Yeah, the app's amazing.
Yeah, I paid tons of that, but it's only on Android.
Yeah, it's so annoying. It's not on iPhone. Oh, tempted to buy an Android just to play Dominion app.
But I think they release, like, if you don't like buy it or something, they release like one of the expansions each time. Like,
yeah, which is each week. Which
so I smashed a load of games out on the phone playing the different ones, and some of the cards are really interesting how you can play them. And
yeah, the only thing with the app that I will say is that AI is just bizarre. Because you will play the hardest game ever. I can't remember what the difficulties are, like whether it's just easy, medium, hard. I think it might be...
I don't know if I ever won a game on the Dominion app.
I think it might be the medium one. And I played it and I was going to bed and I thought, you know what, just one more game. I'll have a quick go. And I didn't win. I was like, I'm staying on this till I win. And, oh my word, the medium difficulty was like, maybe I'm just terrible at the game. But then I played it again, like a few weeks later, and they said that on the, what is it that they're called, like the bug fixes and stuff, they'd made adjustments to the AI, and the medium is just horrendous now. So I don't know whether they've just scaled the difficulty.
Could be.
Maybe I need to give the hard a go. But yeah, I just thought the difficulty was a bit weird.
That's a great shout, though. I love it. Really, really good choice.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get Ra, but I don't think it's available to buy at the minute, which is a pain. Because, yeah, that is the game that I want to get.
Really? Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Definitely, we'll have to check that one out. So three great medium choices. Tim, you went with...
For my medium, Architects.
He went with Architects. I suggested Sleeping Gods. And Matt?
I'll go with Dominion. That's the game that I'll yeah, because I played the most.
And Ra. So, three medium games that go down well. Now, before we go into our heavy game, first we're going to consider our honourable mention. A game that needed to be mentioned as a game that goes down well. But we weren't about to feature it in today's episode as its main choice. What would you say is your honourable mention, Tim?
So, a game... This is on the lighter aspect again. A really good newcomer game is a game that I've got called Jamaica. So, I bought it. I played it and I loved it. And I knew that my wife would really like it. It's a... What I would call it a very, very classic old school board game of a, just a race around an island and you're all pirates racing around. It has a dice system where you have these cards and you have a left and a right side. One's daytime and one is what you do at night. And you whoever the first player is in that round rolls two dice and then they choose which dice is going to go in the day and night time, and then you choose out of these three cards. So it could be that you move your ship forward, but then the next one could be you move your ship backwards. It could be that you collect food and money, because every time you land somewhere, you have to pay either food or money. It could be that you... there's cannons as well, which you fight with, so it might be you collect... So the first column might be cannons. I was going to say callums and
collect cannons. Callums.
And the right side might be move forward. So you're like, okay, I'll put three on cannons, five on move forward. So then everyone plays a card face down. Then you all reveal and you do your actions.
Is that one where it's a big race?
Yes.
I remember this game.
And basically, if you land on each other, you fight and you have to do combat. And it's a bit like just a dice rolling, like chucking type thing. But it does go down really, really well. I was going to maybe recommend it on my light, but I just thought just one... hit the post, but I do think Jamaica is a very, very good game, especially for newcomers that just want to have a bit of fun, a bit of a laugh. It's a bit silly, it's not brain burnery in the slightest, and every time I've played it with newcomers or even some gamers that like the heavy game, they've enjoyed it, they've had a good time. A friend of mine's brought the expansion, we played that, and I think that gives it a little bit more strategy. It's got crew members that you can hire.
Nice.
And they do different powers, which is really cool. So you can ignore certain effects and things like that. Really good game.
I like it. Jamaica's a good shout. I think that's a good one. If someone is perhaps thinking of adding a game and they're perhaps just getting into board gaming, I think that's a really good shout. They will enjoy it. It will go down at good, you know, different evenings as well.
And I'd say that the nice thing about it is six player. So if you've got a bigger player count, that's a great game to get
just
out.
Just gets wild.
Yeah, it gets very wild. I even enjoyed it in a two-player game because what the two-player does, it brings this, it brings, what's his name in Pirates of the Caribbean? Davy Jones. It brings him in and the black ship comes in as a third computer-type player. And all he does in the game is... In between, like, you go, you have to roll the dice to see where... But all he's doing is chasing you down to fight you, to nick all your stuff. And it made this really funny kind of part of the game where we're like, oh, let's see. And then it's like, yeah, he's landed on me. Like, we've got to fight. And all he's doing is... So if you roll it and he's in front of you, he'll turn around and come back for you. And it's just a really, really good game, whether you play two-player or six-player.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout. That's a great honourable mention. Thanks for that one, Tim. I'm going to honourably mention a game. I have talked about it on some of our other episodes, but the reason I wanted to mention this game is I just had to sum it in one word. This game never not works. It always goes down well, which is the whole theme of the episode, and the game is Nidavellir. I don't know a game I own that, regardless of who's coming around, regardless of what game day we're doing, I'm thinking, yeah, I can take Nidavellir.
Yeah.
Who's coming around? New people? We could play Nidavellir.
Mm.
Heavy gamers need a Valir. It's like the fix-all for everything. If you only have the budget to buy one game and you want to make sure it will work with people that like games, people that are brand new to games, people that have never played games, need a Valir. It always works. It's great for heavier guys because they're going to want to try and get a high score. For lighter people, it's got really cool Viking artwork and it's nice and simple and they're just going to enjoy playing it. It's quick. It's always like 45 minutes, regardless of if you're playing it five player or two player. Mm. It's the same length of time. It just always works. And I've never really seen a game do it quite like that, that I don't know who. I can make anyone play that game and they seem to enjoy it. I made my dad play that game and he enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to mention it as an honorable mention. Even though I've mentioned it before, it needed to go into today's theme because it is a game that always goes down well. So, need a Valir. If you only have the budget for one game, buy that one.
That's a good show. Yeah, I love Need a Valir. I don't think I've ever had a game that goes on too long. It's a bit too short. I feel it's just the perfect amount of time.
It's such a well-designed game.
Yeah, yeah. And it, you know what? All the cards kind of explain themselves as well, so you don't need to look in the rule book.
Exactly.
There's one, actually.
Yeah, the one where you can move slightly. Yeah, but that's the one. Out of all the cards, you could play 10 games and never buy that card.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
yeah.
Again, it is actually quite powerful,
though, that one is.
Which is why a heavy gamer who wants to get a high score and he's bothered about that can learn the rule for that card. But if someone's not too bothered and they just want to have a nice game, they can buy another card.
Yeah.
It's as heavy as you want it to be. It's a very flexible game.
No, that's a great shout.
Matt, I'm curious though. So after we've considered Jamaica and Need a Valir, what would your honourable mention be?
I don't know where to start off with the light game I was thinking of, or whether to just go in with the medium game.
An honourable mention that you think if someone's watching this and they're looking for a game that will always go down well that perhaps they could buy, what would you recommend?
Okay, so my honourable mention is Watergate.
Ooh.
I think it's an amazing two-player game, very thematic, and I think it plays on the fact that board games can be more than just, oh, very beige strategy. That's kind of how they all work, kind of based off like the Monopoly risk kind of theme. Whereas Watergate is a real-life event that happened, and you play cards based on that event and people that are related to the conspiracy that happened. Also, that's what they want you to believe. And I think it's an amazing game. Yeah,
that's a great choice. I remember you taught me Watergate, and I was hooked. I think I borrowed it from you, and I just made a bunch of people play it because I was like, "Oh, this is such a good game." I think the reason it hit me so much is I'd seen it in shops. I'd just walked past it. I'd always thought, oh, I don't know, I'm not in the mood to learn some political historical game.
Yeah,
that's the theme, but it's a light game. It's really nice and easy. It's this two player game. It's quite quick. You can play it in like half an hour, if not less.
Mm-hmm.
Very cat and mouse. I think that's a good shout as a really nice light little two player game, especially if someone likes historical themes.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a great game. I was going to mention Seven Wonders Architects as well as another one. But I know you don't like Seven Wonders, so I didn't know whether to...
But if you think it was a good honourable mention,
yeah,
go for it.
I'll leave it at that because, yeah, I don't want to take
it
up.
All right, cool. So next, before we go into our final choice of a heavy game that we would absolutely recommend as a game that goes down well, I wanted to talk about games that we find flop. We've tried them maybe more than once. We've tried them in different scenarios, and these games just flop. We cannot seem to find a situation when these games go down well. Tim, let's start with you.
I've got a few. No, I'm joking. I find that games that I think are going to go, I think it's more my expectations versus reality. I've mentioned a few before on podcasts, things like Skull, that it really depends on the group that you play it with, and that sort of thing. One game I would probably say is actually, we mention it quite a bit, but Brass Birmingham, I find is a Marmite-ish sort of
really?
Game. Yeah, I feel like you either love it or you hate it. I've never found someone who goes, yeah, it's all right. I don't mind it.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's either I've got friends that love it or I've got friends that hate it and think it's the worst game and they don't understand why it's such a big profile game. So I'd go with that. Oh, it's obviously more on the heavier sort of side of it. There's some games that I've had in the past that I've just sold straight away because I just thought it just didn't resonate very well. So Veiled Fate, we've talked about that on the podcast. That went straight out of my collection. and I would say that's just because it had such a different mechanic to it that we weren't quite... I don't know, maybe we just weren't clicking to it. I know... We've talked about this. Maybe it was just the time of day, the fact that it was the last game of the day. Maybe it was, you know, everyone's tired and burnt out. And we're trying to learn this game that actually we didn't have a reference. So we were talking on our last podcast about teaching games and we were saying how easy it is to, or sometimes it's easy to like teach a game that you know other mechanics that you can reference to and you can kind of go, oh, that's like that game. Is this just didn't have it. So, yeah.
Sometimes that's a good thing. But in that scenario, it was strange. And I find if they're going to do something brand new, it needs to be brand new, fresh, and it works well.
Yeah.
And I think we struggled to see how it worked super well. Maybe it does, but we just couldn't see it.
Yeah. I would say those are the main ones. I find that, personally myself, I just love board games. Like, you could pretty much put anything on the table and I'll probably go, yeah, I like this. obviously within theory. But for me, those were the ones that I think I would join in with everyone and say probably didn't go down as well as I liked it to.
Yeah, those are some good shouts. I think it's a good point there. It depends who you're playing with. If you're playing with the wrong person, any game is just going to flop.
Definitely.
For my game that I found flopped, and I will caveat this, I've played it multiple times. I've tried it at different player accounts. And I feel conclusively say, I don't get why people buy this game, and that is Dixit.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
I have tried Dixit at a high player
that
account.
That's quite interesting. I was not expecting you to say that.
I never expected that.
Yep. No. I've played Dixit at its max player account. I've played it at like 3 or 4 players. I've heard people talk about it. And every time I'm like, man, this game gets loads of hype. This must be really good. Maybe I'm not playing this right. So I'll play another game of it. And I'm still like, this game's rubbish.
Not resonating.
I'm just like, well, it just feels a bit too obvious every time. I'm like, okay, but it's obviously that card or it's obviously this. I'm like, I don't understand. I feel like maybe, you know, sometimes we all have those like games you play at maybe like campfires where you tear pieces of paper and, you know, those sorts of games like social party games, like Mafia and stuff. I can't help but feel, I wonder if Dixit came from some sort of origin. Someone got some money and was able to like make a game out of it. But it just didn't, I just don't get why it works. It just doesn't seem to work.
I think it's based off the social, what's the game? Mafia style.
It doesn't work. I'd rather play Mafia.
Yeah.
Is Dixit the one where you got pictures and you've got to say a clue and everyone's got to...
Yeah, you've got to kind of guess the person.
It reminds me a little bit of like a picture boulder dash type thing.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't work nearly as well.
Do you find that the group that you play it with are feeling the same?
I've played it with a few different groups and I think we always seem to get the vibe. Well, it's obvious whose card is what. Or it's obvious which card that is.
Yeah, okay.
And I feel like...
Have you had that?
I've played it once. It was, I know what you're saying. I kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was a neat little game. The hilarious, what the anecdote I've got with this is I played with my family and my father-in-law played it and we call him Cryptic Alan because he's always super cryptic. I'll give you exactly what he did. He had a card and it was like a, it was like one of those sort of like Moroccan type buildings where they've got like open windows and there was like a bit of like a curtain falling out the window and it kind of just came round like this.
Yeah.
And he that was the card that was the thing and he said, fragment, and put it down. So none of us knew what on earth he was on about. And then... We all just put like random cards down. Nobody got it. And at the end, we were like, what's Fragment got to do with that? And his explanation was, You know on Microsoft Word when it says fragment, like for the sentence because you haven't completed the sentence? Yeah, so it's like in the word error. After fragment, they always put a colon, a semicolon, and it looked like a semicolon. This is how cryptic it was.
That is so specific. Yeah. It's like...
And this is probably part and parcel, right? That whilst that's hilarious, if you're trying to play the game realistically, either you have to be clear enough that everyone, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Or people... Because it's... Think, the game is designed at people that don't play games.
Yeah.
And so they're going to do stuff like that, and the game's just going to break and not work.
Mm.
I mean, I remember one person, the only person I know that said, oh, I played this game recently at a friend's house called Dixit. I loved it. Yeah, it was really good. The only person I know that said that doesn't play games.
Mm.
They're the type of person that will buy like Trivial Pursuit, the board game or something, and they don't play games.
That has got a purpose though.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because
Trivial Pursuit's better than Dixit.
Oh, I don't...
I do like Trivial.
Yeah, I actually, yeah, I do like it. Yeah. it's a different. It's Trivial Pursuit is the old classic board game.
At least
it really
works. Mm. You know, Dixit can break.
The thing is with Trivial Pursuit though is you're guaranteeing that you've got some knowledge beforehand of whatever the subject is. Where Dixit is like, oh, this is just open to everyone.
Yeah, you don't have to be. Yeah. And I wouldn't say it's even clever. It's just knowing things about random.
Mm.
You know, like pub quizzes that just know random facts about things.
Yes.
That's what Trivial Pursuit is. But there was a funny... I talk about that anecdote, and I do think that that's how I like to play those certain games, just be a bit silly with it.
Mm.
I remember the first game of Just One I played, we referenced earlier. I remember the clue that was given was tulip, like the flower. And somebody put flower, someone put Netherlands, because it's... reference or something like that, and they were like a couple of, and mine I just made this word up because I thought of tulip and I kept saying it in my head like, what can I put, and I kept going tulip, so I put munch mouth thinking I found out that's against the rules, you can't make words up.
Yeah,
well I made it as one word,
yeah,
but I realized that that was actually against rules, you're not allowed to make words up, but I thought this was brilliant.
Yeah,
and I like these cryptic-y sort of, so I think sometimes you might have to just play it with a bit of stupidity
and this is the thing, maybe all I know is my decision to put it on the flop list is after playing it multiple times at different player accounts, so I can try it again.
Mm.
Again, I would be saying I'm trying it again after already trying it again. So
I think it's a good shout. Like when we've talked about some of those light games that we really like.
Mm.
And if somebody's out there thinking, what game can I buy next? I think the three recommendations of our light, like Just One or what did you say? What was yours? Your light one?
Century Spice Road
or Splendor. Yeah. Those three, they work really well. And if you're going to buy that or Dixit, I would definitely say buy the others.
Absolutely. I agree with that, yeah.
And especially because Dixit is probably the same price as Splendor, and Splendor's way better.
Yeah, definitely.
Matt, what's a game that flops?
I found this really difficult, probably because I like too many games. And if I know that I'm not going to like something, I just actively avoid it. So, yeah, I found this one really tricky. There's been gaming situations where I know it's because of the group that we're playing with, and either it's slightly a bit too heavy or the theme just doesn't resonate with them. But the game that I've chosen for this, and bear in mind, I have only played it a few times, so maybe this will be a bit controversial, but it's Potion Explosion.
Okay, oh, I haven't played that.
Yeah, I've not played it, but...
And I do think it might be just the setting I was in for when it was played. I think the person who bought it had just seen it on the shelf and thought, oh, that looks cool. And yeah, I think we ended up just giving up on it. Mm. And I actually, afterwards, I was like, that's a bit weird. So I played it online because it's on BGA. And it's okay. Maybe it... I feel like it's a bit weird online because it's a very like tactile, you know, like Azul style type of game. So it probably would be better with the actual product. But yeah, that's my gaming experience where I had where it was just like, it just didn't work that great.
That's interesting. Mm. Yeah.
As soon as you say Potion Explosion, all I think of is Quacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Quacks is the better game.
Yeah, well, 100%. Actually, Quacks should have been on our honourable mention, probably, because that always goes down well, very well.
I said there was a game that I didn't want to include because we say it every week, and it was Quacks.
Really? Well, you've said it now.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, that was Potion Explosion. Hey, you know what? Saying that, I'd still like to try it again. So that's
You're
probably
nice.
Just me.
Too
yeah,
nice of a guy.
I've never had a game where I've thought, I really don't like this. Maybe that's just me being into games. Or I think, you know what, I need to try this. It may be with different people, or I need to go into it with a different mindset. Because I played at yours that, what's the betting game?
Long shot,
yeah. And I think my headspace, I was not ready for that game. And I replayed it and I really enjoyed it. So
what, Long Shot? Or, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had like a 4-hour brass game.
Yeah. And then that probably didn't help. Yeah.
Say no more.
Yeah. So I'll put that as my flop, but I'm not. I'm not putting it as the one like, oh, yeah, I definitely think it's a flop. It's just the experience I had.
Fair enough. Okay. So on to the penultimate heavy board game that always seems to go down well. Starting off, let's head over to Tim.
I will caveat this by saying, personally, I think this is actually a heavier medium game, but I think for new people, it would be a heavy game. I think this game goes down really well every time I play it. Which is Castles of Burgundy.
Oh, what a game.
And one of the reasons I say this is we've played it a few times. I've played it with Luke a couple of times, I think. I think it was a couple of times. A friend of ours called Luke. I keep referencing people that nobody knows. I played this with Luke and I really liked it. And then I hadn't played it for a couple of years. And I thought, do you know what? I really fancy a game of Castles of Burgundy. So I just bought it. And I think they had the special edition coming out. So everyone was selling their copies on Facebook. And I thought, I'd get it really cheap. Got it like a really good price. And I played it. And we played it at Board Game Night. And everyone just loved it. Everyone like thought it was great. And then the next day, we're like, I just want another game of Castles of Burgundy. Mm. So we got that out again. And Amy played, my wife. She's the barometer for me of whether new gamers would like it or not. Yeah. She's... she's not like into the big strategy games. And for a heavier game, she was like, I actually really like that. And she actually references it. You know, if people come around and they say something, she'll go, oh, I actually really like that Castles of Burgundy. It was a really good game. And I think for a heavy game that's got lots of components, it takes a long time to play it because there's different ages and like you have to do little mini setups for each age. And there's lots to think about. It goes down really well.
Mm. It's nice that we all have these sorts of barometer people, you know. You've got Amy for heavy games, my sister for light games, you know. Matt, I hope you've got a barometer.
Yeah, pretty much Chai as well, yeah. So, in fact, yeah, the Castles of Burgundy, exactly the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah, amazing.
It's a really good game.
It's right behind you there.
Nice.
Yeah, I think everyone's
got a copy. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Castles of Burgundy. I think... everything just works so well.
It's very clean.
And also, it sounds quite a lot the first time that you're doing it, especially the yellow tiles, I think it is.
Yeah, because you have to know all the iconography, don't
yeah,
you?
So yeah. That's a little bit tricky. But then as the game progresses, it just flows. And I haven't found anyone that struggled with it.
Yeah, I don't think I have. At first, I was wondering if people were really going to get, you know, you don't just place it straight on the board. You have to put it in your little keep and then put it on.
Mm.
But everyone kind of got it, which was really good. It's funny, the more I kind of get into it, I've actually found a lot of people say it's not Stefan Feld's best game. He's done like much better games.
Oh, really?
But I think, I just think he's nailed it with Castles of Burgundy. I've not played the others, so I can't really say that. But I think he's nailed it in terms of a game that's really like strategic, heavier, but actually really accessible for new gamers.
Mm.
I would caveat, if you are a new gamer, don't just go and buy it and try and play it.
Mm.
Find someone who knows the game to teach
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're brand new to board games, you shouldn't buy Castles of Burgundy. You're going to feel overwhelmed. It's definitely not a first game purchase.
Yeah, definitely. But if you know someone who's got it,
yeah,
I'll definitely give it a go. Because I think, like you were saying, We talked about in the last, sometimes teaching a game and actually playing a game is two different things. And I think that's one of those games, actually, you can you can get into it quite well and quite easy. And yeah, it's quite straightforward.
Yeah, I like that. That's a really good shout for a game that always goes down well for heavy gamers. Now, when it comes to my choice, I had an interesting concept here. I was trying to think about what is a game that always could go down well for heavy gamers rather than a heavy game, because most heavy gamers like every heavy game anyway. So the game I picked, and I've got a specific anecdote and a specific reason why I've suggested this one, and the game is Captain Sonar.
Okay.
Which initially you might think is a light game, which it's not. I would say it's a medium, to be fair. The reason I suggested Captain Sonar, I played this at UKG in 2022, and we played it at its proper player count. I'll say its proper player count because it's meant to be an 8-player game, and you can have someone play multiple roles, but basically there's 8 roles and it's for a team. You need 8 people, but everyone needs to play their role properly. And everyone, it's not hard at all if everyone's just doing one job, right? Mm. And it's one job and it's not hard to do, but it's a real-time game. Everything happens real-time. Everyone must do that one job right. It's super easy. That one job is dead easy, whatever you do. But you need 8 people to play it right. Hence why, well, heavy gamers, because we played it. Only 2 of the people there had played it before. Everyone else was new to it, but we're all heavy gamers and it was awesome. We loved it. It blew us all away. Everyone was like, this game is awesome.
Yeah.
So it made me realize a game that will always go down well for heavy gamers as a party game for heavy gamers or a light filler game for heavy gamers is Captain Sonar. Yes, it's not a heavy game, but you do need 8 serious gamers to make it work. And if you do get 8 people who are all heavy gamers and you pull Captain Sonar out, you're going to have a great game. It's going to go, I don't think you can have Captain Sonar with 8 heavy gamers not go down well. It'll be epic. Next up, let's consider, Matt, what would you say is a heavy game or a game that will always go down well for heavy gamers?
I've just gone for a heavy game. And the game that I've gone with is Maracaibo.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I love Maracaibo. I really want to get it. Mm. I think it's quite a hard one to get out because it is pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you need a very specific group to play it with. But there's quite a few expansions that you don't have to actually get. It's a bit like Taverns where it's kind of like inside the game. And yeah, I really want to give it a go again because after we played it, I don't know, I've just been thinking about strategies and what I'd do next and stuff. And yeah, I've really enjoyed Maracaibo. It's a very crunchy, is it Alexander?
Yeah, Fister. Yeah.
And I really enjoy his games and that was another one. And yeah, I love that. It pretty heavy game, but love it.
That's cool. I'm a big Alexander Fister fan. I've owned a couple of his games in the past. I've got Blackout Hong Kong that I need to play. I bought that like 2 years ago, still not got it to the table. But Maracaibo was on the list. I think before you played a Alexander Pfister series and then they rank what their favourite games are.
Oh, interesting.
And it's really, really good, actually. And I remember getting to Maracaibo, watched the playthrough, and I thought, oh, do you know what? This is actually a really great game. But I saw it was a heavy game, and I thought, do I want to buy it? Will people play it? And then when you said, oh, should we play it? I was like, oh, well up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I think it was quite heavy, and we were like referencing the rules a little bit through the game at the start.
Yeah,
but I mean, after a while, we got it, and it was like, right, okay. It was quite straightforward.
If you've played a lot of board games, none of the mechanics are that new. Yeah. Like there's a few interesting ways it works, especially with how you connect to the countries at the top.
The military sort of thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because also, you think you're going to be going to war, but it's basically who's got the most influence that actually matters. But yeah, I love the Maracaibo. I wonder what... I'm going to have to watch that video because I'd be interested to see what the other top ones in that, list were.
I think Mombasa was one of the top ones, even though it's a slightly controversial theme. We played Sky Mines, which is based off that, and I quite liked Sky Mines. It wasn't my most enthusiastic game, but it was good. But I think Maracaibo was quite high up there.
Okay,
they rated it quite high, if I remember correctly.
Nice,
cool. So thank you so much, guys, for taking part in this episode where we considered games that go down well. So just to review, if you're watching this and you're looking for a game, and maybe you want to find a new game that you think will go down well, let's review. My suggestions would be for a light game to go for Century Spice Road, for a medium game as a player to go for Sleeping Gods. My honourable mention was Need of Lear, and my flop game would be Dixit. And finally, my heavy game that I would definitely recommend for heavy gamers, but the game itself isn't too heavy, was Captain Sonar. Tim?
My light game was Just One. My medium one was Architects. I will just caveat that with, if you want something a little bit lighter, maybe look at the North Sea series rather than West Kingdom, but Architects is a great game. My honourable mention was Jamaica, a great little social fun game. Game that flopped, I would say, for me, I love it, is Brass Birmingham, but it is a Marmite-ish game, so just be careful. You might not always find everyone loves it as much as you do. And my heavy game was Castles of Burgundy.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Tim. Over to you, Matt.
Cool. So my light game was Splendor. If you want something a little bit different to Century Spice Road, then give Scout a go. For my medium game, it was Dominion, a great deck builder. I'm sure most of us have played it, but if you haven't, it's definitely worth a go. My honourable mention was Watergate, a really tight, historically accurate, kind of like battle against each other for the events of the Watergate scandal. And my flop was Potion Explosion. And then finally, my heavy game was Maracaibo.
Brilliant. Thank you. So if you're viewing this video, or perhaps you're listening to it on whatever streaming platform you get, if you head over to our YouTube video, please drop us a comment. We would love to see, and we do read the comments ourselves, we would love to see if you was to fill in this list for a light game, a medium game, and a heavy game that you would recommend for those people.
I'm trying to see.
Well, don't do what Tim does and drop it in the comments for us below.
Do you want to say it again?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Drop in the comments below on whatever games that you would recommend people to buy if it's their first buy. Don't ask Tim.
Oh, dear.
Stay tuned for the game of the week. So, the game of the week this week is Taverns of Tiefenthal. Why? Why would we recommend this game by Wolfgang Warsch? Well, it is a fantastic game that seems to always go down well for a variety of people. Again, it's a game that heavy gamers will really enjoy trying to play a point salad and get the highest score they can get. But light gamers will just love the theme. You're rolling dice, you've got beer mats, you're bringing people into your pub, you get to have your own tavern. And again, it's a great theme, great artwork. You could have someone who just likes nice light games, and you can say, do you want to play a game where you own your own pub? It won't take too long. It just goes down really well. For whatever sort of serious level that someone wants to play, this game will probably work. So the game of the week this week is Taverns of Tiefenthal.